Okay, good morning. Phew. Okay. I see some faces that I do not know, so I'll introduce myself. My name is Fia Kennedy, and I'm a member here at Shofar Rondebosch. If you do not know me, you will probably know my husband, Kenny, the love of my life. He's in Kids Church with the kids. He's normally the one that's standing more often here in front speaking to you. But today it is my turn. I am a bit nervous because it's my first time. So please bear with me if the mic is shaking a bit. But I am excited to share with you this morning. We have three little girls. Andrea is 4.5. And then Jean just turned 2. And another baby girl. Shame, yet to get a name. We're struggling. We are all out of girl names. But we will get one. Okay, so before I jump in, I just quickly want to pray for us. So if you can just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we just invite you, just come and fill our hearts, open up our hearts for what you want to come and do to this morning. And thank you, God, that you love us so, so, so much and that you have so many plans for us. We just open our hearts this morning to receive from you. Amen. Okay, so let me jump in with a testimony. When Raina asked me if I would like to share on the topic, love your neighbor, I was extremely excited, although very nervous. I'm usually a bit the more behind the scenes church members or either in kids church. I'm not so fond of talking in front of or speaking in front of people, especially not over a mic, because it is a bit stressful. But something just resonated in my heart, and supernaturally, God really made me excited to share with you this morning. So I am excited. I hope you are all. So watch it. You may be next. God works in a mysterious way, so he can use everyone. So if he uses me to speak in front of people, he can use you. So as you can see, the topic of the sermon, or not sermon, but I'm actually just here this morning to inspire and to tell stories, but it's love your neighbor. And immediately when you hear the scripture, you think of how you can serve the people that lives around you, or how you can actually love your neighbor. But we often forget about the last part of the scripture that reads, as yourself. And even in prepping for this message or sermon, God, he highlighted the as yourself part for me. Because I'm a practical person, I just wanted to jump in to get to the house and what you can do to love your neighbor or the people in your community. But God led me to stand still and think about for a moment about as yourself. And then I realized that, or God showed me that we need to love ourselves first before we can actually love our neighbors. Because otherwise, if you do not love yourself, you will try and love your neighbor out of your own capacity, out of your own strength, and it will become a burden. And you will not be able to sustain it. And if you do not truly love yourself, you know, like I said, it will become a burden. It won't be easy for you, and it won't become part of your daily living. So I want us to stand still at the as yourself part. So how you love yourself is how you will see others. So it's important to know. Go back. that part you will see later. So it's important to see yourself as how God sees you, because he really, really loves you. And so for that part, I want to do a quick exercise. I want you to close your eyes, and then I will show you or describe to you how this love yourself means like. So, okay, all eyes closed. Okay, love yourself means believing these words. You are a royal priesthood, God's special possession. You are created in God's image. You are transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have the Holy Spirit in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You are precious and honored in God's sight, and he loves you. God knows how many hairs you have in your head. He is intimately involved with all your details and designs. God created you. He formed you. He called you by name. You are a blessing. The God that created the heavens and the earth, who said, let there be light, and there was light. This massive, indescribable God, who is so amazing, created you, loves you, and knows about you. Okay, I'll do that last sentence again. The God that created the heavens and the earth, who said, let there be light, and there was light. This massive, indescribable God, who is so amazing, created you, loves you, and knows about you. Okay, so you can open your eyes. How does it feel? Do you feel a little bit more in love with yourself? Okay, so just shake the person next to you and say, I love myself. So that I can love you. You can say, so that I can love you. Okay, cool, thanks. I have a time afterwards if you don't believe what I just read and you're struggling to love yourself, then we have an opportunity later, and because I would love to pray with you. So I am, like I said, a practical person, so I'll get to the practical part now. So I just want to share some principles with you that we have seen the fruit in this area of how you can actually love your neighbor. Okay, so you can move on. Kenny, help me with the slides. Okay, there's the first principle. Because he said there must be apparently some animation, so it makes it easier. Anyway, so thanks, Kenny. Okay, the first principle is to live beyond your home. So what I mean by this principle is to live outside the four walls of your home. Go out. For us that lives in a two-bedroom flat, it's easier probably to go outside, because sometimes it gets a little bit too tight, or cabin fevery with the kids running around and all the toys. So we have to go out, go and play in parks or for hikes or strolls on the beach. But I really want to encourage you to go out, to go for a hike, go to the park, go and sit there, go and have your lunch there over the weekend, or even for a walk on the beach. You will always meet people, and God can use any opportunity. And for the married people, it's very easy. You can just have children. It is so easy to engage with people if you have children. They will come to you. They will say, oh, she's so sweet. What's her name? So we always meet people if we go do grocery shopping or go to the park or even through school. You meet so many interesting people. And I often find that, especially when we're out at the park, I will start just start talking to someone or a mommy about the child, or, oh wow, our kids are playing so nicely together. And then 20 minutes into this conversation, I've realized, wow, I don't even know her name, or I haven't even introduced myself. So yeah, don't make the same mistake. Introduce yourself. And then a story. We used to have this neighbor, and the only form of communication we had was through notes. His notes. Some of it read like, hey dude, you're parking too close to my new car, because our parking space was quite close to his. Or he would say, please don't slam your door that loud. It's making quite a noise. And to this day, I'm sorry to say, our front door is still not working. We really have to slam it to close it. So it's not entirely our mistake. But anyway, for about 2 years, that is how the relationship was. Or I can't even call it a relationship. It was just not even co-living. We knew their names, but I mean, we didn't have any relationship. Up until the end, it was probably a week after I got home, after having Andrea, firstborn, then this time we received a different note that was slipped under a door, and it said, it congratulated us on the birth of Andrea and our baby girl. They obviously didn't know her name, and said that they would really want to meet her, and that they were happy. And yeah, one thing led to another. We started caring from. They were actually our really next door neighbors. So we'd visit them and they would come over, and we ended up becoming great friends. We spent so much time together, we often were put in situations where we could really just share out of our lives and help them through difficult times. And our friendship grew so much that Kenny ended up doing their wedding ceremony. The non-legal part. And afterwards, the response from their friends. They just came up and asked any questions, and obviously you could impart in their lives. And that all just started, actually, them approaching us, wanting to meet our baby girl. So it was amazing. We didn't even make the first move. And that was Andrea's first outreach of many to come. And then the second principle is to share your life. Probably some of you won't know, but my mom got sick last year, and it was and it is quite a difficult time for us as a family. But God can use any situation and let it work for the good. The night before she was diagnosed with cancer, I actually in a dream, God told me that something bad was going to happen to her, but that she was going to be okay. And to this day, that is the word that I stand on when I trust for complete healing for my mom's mesothelioma. That's a cancer, and medically her cancer doesn't go away. So I'm putting out my faith that she's going to get healed 100%. But obviously, we have a park close to us, and we're quite a tight park community. And obviously, all my we laugh when we call it, but we call ourselves park friends. So obviously, all of my park friends, they knew about it, or they knew about my mom's sickness, and they would often ask me how she's doing. And if I can label them for the purpose of the sermon, most of them are non-believers or they do not go to church. But obviously, I would tell them, because since my mom has been diagnosed with cancer, there has been many testimonies, and I would use any opportunity just to really testify to them all the miracles that has happened. And obviously, I also told them about the dream, and they're like, wow, that's so cool. And not one of them was not changed by it. So God can really use you to be a shining light, even if yourself are in the middle of the storm and in a world's view without any hope. So I want to encourage you, we all can be the shining light, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. This world is a very, very dark place. So we need to shine our light to the hopeless. Okay, so the third one is very easy. It's eat together because we all have to eat. So it's very easy to use this principle. It's a great way to fellowship and to spend time together. So I want to encourage you to invite people to your house. I believe that when you invite people over, there's sort of a change in the relationship. It's a bit more open. Even the persons, they feel a bit more valued. They're like, wow, this person really made the effort to invite me and welcome me into their home. And that obviously also creates a platform for you to share into your life. So it's a great tool. It is sometimes a bit more effort that you have to put in. But remember that inviting people over, you don't have to pretend to be someone that you're not, because they are really interested in you as a person and not some fake person. So be yourself, and don't feel like your recoff is not good enough. So if that is what you drink in the mornings, offer that to your guests. You don't have to feel that you have to go out and buy now the best Legado that there is and serve that to your guests. But if Legado, that's what our church serve, if that is what you drink in the mornings, then please do that. serve that to your guests, because they will definitely enjoy it. And I also do realize sometimes, due to financial constraints and space issues, we do not invite people over. But I want to also encourage you, just try to keep a plain meal, keep it simple. Try to plan a cost-effective meal, and do not go in too much effort. I mean, it's not really the food that they are interested in. It's just really to have a good time and to spend time with you and to fellowship. But if you are a foodie, go all out. I mean, serve your 5-course meal. I know it will totally bless the people around you. I'm always blessed by it because I'm not a foodie. So I always enjoy a really good meal. But I mean, that's not the whole idea of inviting people over. It's just to bless them. So don't let it make a burden. And I mean, I've had so many deep conversations out of a premix muffin mix that I've made for the kids. And then a friend came over and I just take it out and we eat it. So I mean, it's muffins. I didn't even make from scratch. It's I buy it at Pick n Pay, add egg, and there you go. There's the conversation. And if your place is too small like ours, I encourage you go out, go and sit and have a meal or a coffee in a park or have a picnic in a at the beach. What we sometimes do is because we have a lovely park very close to us, we sometimes prepare our snacks or our dinner, and then we go to the park and all the fellow park goers does the same, and then we end up having a great time until the sun is not there anymore and it's dark. Then we do it, and the kids absolutely love it. We do it in the summer and when the wind is not blowing in Frederick, because sometimes it can be a bit windy and then you have to come up with other ideas. Yeah. No, well, the weather has been really, well, if it's not, it wasn't raining, it, in the winter, then it's actually nicer because then you don't have the wind. But anyway, they used to live in Frederick, so he knows what I'm talking about. Another idea is what we once did is we made pancakes and we took it to the park and then all the kids ate of it and all the parents. And I just love the fact that the children, sometimes if they're strangers, people that you do not know in the park, the kids will approach you and say, "Can I have a pancake?" And then the parents jump in and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, my child is so upfront and I did feed him." And then you begin. that is what we do when we are parents. We do feed our children, they're just always hungry. And then you have a conversation. We once even ordered takeaway pizzas and had it delivered to the park. And SnapScan these days makes everything so easy. So, I mean, that's an idea. You can also even do a bring and share dinner at your home or even the park. It's really not that difficult. And what I also sometimes do is I ask God for ideas because I know He is also into us reaching out to people. So if you are out of ideas, I mean, God is the creator, the creative one. So just ask him for ideas. Or I know it sounds stupid, but if you are not a foodie, then sometimes I'm like, God, what must I make? Something plain and simple, 5 ingredients. I don't know what to make. And then boom, it gets dropped into my computer here and we have a very easy meal. Okay, so the fourth principle is how can I help? Some of the parents, or all of the parents will probably know, I just want to take a sip of water quickly. Okay, so let me start. So how can you help? That's the fourth principle. So the new parents and parents, they will probably know when I say it's a massive blessing when someone brings a meal to you if you just had a baby. So you can actually use that principle, and it doesn't necessarily have to be because of a new baby. You can, if someone is in a difficult time, you can take a meal to them. If you even just feel like blessing someone or your neighbor or people living close to you, take them a meal. And even if you see there's new neighbors that moved in close by, go up to them, introduce yourself, take them a packet of biscuits, even take a meal to them. I mean, that will just automatically open their heart towards you. And then you can actually also ask God, how can you, in the season where you are at, serve people in your community? Me as a mommy, for me, I found that at the moment, it's easier for me to offer parents or friends or neighbors that I will watch after their kids. Because so many mommies, they just need a break or they need to go out and do something. And that really blesses and helps people. But also, even if you don't have kids and you love kids, you can offer to babysit or you can offer, I'll come to your house, look after your child for 2 hours and you can quickly go out and do shopping. A quick testimony on that, and please, yeah, my heart in this is not to boast at all, but I just for the sake of this principle want to highlight a testimony. Andrea had a friend over this week. I'm also friends with the mommy. But the friend, we don't normally do the play dates alone, so the mommy comes with and the siblings or whatever. But the friend that came over, her sister was sick, so the mommy stayed home with the sister and the friend came over. Andrea and the friend had a ball. They played so nicely together. They really enjoyed the time. And then when her mommy came to fetch her, she said to me the morning before she dropped off her daughter at us, she came up to her and said, "Mommy, I really like the way Fia treats me as a person." And I was so blessed that she had the guts also to share that with me. And it just shows you what the impact you can actually have on a child and then on a family. If you invite them to your home, if you look after them, and if you really do care for them and love them. So I want to encourage you on that. And then on a different note, we all have the Holy Spirit in us, and we are different. And people see it. They don't know what it is, but they do pick up that there is something different. I mean, when Andrea was really very small, oh, I don't know, probably between 6 months and 1 year old, we were in the park one day, and one of the mommies came up to me, and she just said, "There's something so angelical about Andrea." And I mean, like, if that's not the Holy Spirit, then I don't know. So they do pick it up, especially people that do not know Jesus. They just sense there is something different. So I want to encourage you, offer to help. And then the fifth one, I like that one, is to celebrate people. I believe deep down, everyone wants to be celebrated. And if not, I think there's an underlying issue why they don't want to be celebrated. In a church community, we are often, if I can say it, spoiled with being affirmed and prayed for. But outside the church community, it doesn't really happen. People are not used to it. They feel uncomfortable. So I really do want to encourage you to celebrate the people that lives close to me. Ask God or ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in what you can say to them. You have no idea what you might ignite in their hearts. You can ask God to tell you how they feel, how He feels about that person. And then you can convey that to them in a note or in a WhatsApp, or actually tell them in person. We sometimes forget about the power of that. And we have it. We have the Holy Spirit, so we can all do it. Just have the guts to do it. And then also let them celebrate with you as well. So if it's your birthday or one of your kids' birthday or whatever, we always have this sort of, I won't call it a model, but we try to mix the crowd with, if I can say it, believers and non-believers. I still remember for Andrea's first birthday party, so now you must remember it's our firstborn. It's her first year. So we had this massive party in the park, and Kenny and I was there in the morning. We were busy setting up, and there was a father and his boy there. They were playing, and he came up to us. I mean, again, we didn't have to do the work. He came up to us, and he started chatting to us and obviously asked us what we were doing. And we said that we are busy setting up for Andrea's party. We ended up chatting, and we said to him, "Well, I mean, it's a picnic party. Please come over or come join the party." Not knowing if he really would come, but I mean, we offered, and anyway, so he went away. And then later in the morning, the party started, and then suddenly he came, him and his boy, and they sat there between our friends. He ate with us, he had a ball, and I mean, that was the start of a very lovely Rugby Road Park friendship. And again, we didn't even approach him, he approached us. I have another story to share on birthday parties, because I love birthday parties. again, for Andrea's third birthday, we and another couple, Andrea and a friend, they did for one day. We decided to go camping for their birthdays. And then we said, but we're each going to invite about 6 or 7 families to come with us. Again, Kenny and I decided to do the mixing the crowd method, and we invited some of our church friends and some of the friends that they don't normally go to church, because a camp is such an ideal place to go. I mean, you have the campfire that's burning the whole time. You either have a poiki course that is cooking the whole day. You have to stand there and watch it, so you automatically have these conversations. Or Kenny loves it, the late night conversations, when then there's only a few people left. That's the part he likes the most. I can't. I have to go and sleep. But we received so much positive feedback from the couple that went with. They said, "Oh, we have lovely friends." And they weren't even, like, sometimes you feel like non-churchgoers will feel a bit intimidated by like your church community, but they aren't. They really, they were so blessed by it. And to this day, I mean, Andrea's 4.5 now. He says, "Oh, yeah, you have such lovely friends, and we really invite them. We really like them." And now, with Andrea getting older, they will see our friends again because with birthday parties or whatever. So it's so nice to, you know, to invite people. I mean, it was just a mere suggestion to come camp with us, and I mean, boom, they really enjoyed it. The sixth principle is take part in community events. The photo on my topic slide, or the first slide, that was actually, I don't know if you want, you don't have to go there, but at our park, we have this annual event called Christmas in July. So it's a massive party in the middle of winter, and for the past 3 years, it was really a very hot day. You won't believe it. In July, there's days that there's 25 degrees or 30. We attended these Christmas in July parties, and you meet the most interesting people that you probably would have met if it wasn't for the party. And so I want to encourage you, if there's a community event taking place near where you live, go. And you don't have to feel that you have to initiate it, because, I mean, Kenny and I, we didn't have anything to do with this Christmas in July party, with any of the arrangements. We just probably helped with setting up, or offered to bake cupcakes for the kiddies, or even with cleaning the park up afterwards. But it was not our brainchild, or like our, we didn't even initiate it, but we did attend it, and it's really a community booster. So the last principle is there's a time for everything. So people in this world is empty, and they need Jesus. And I even realized it again, the extent of it this past week, as my one neighbor came over. The usual, our friends our children are good friends, and they played, and just suddenly my friend just open up her heart like she's never been before. And I've knew her for like about 2 or 3 years. And she just opened up her heart, shared, made herself vulnerable. And I just realized, wow, the answer for this is Jesus. They really need Jesus. And I found that it's not God's heart for people to feel, to get isolated. My red light always flashes when people get isolated or isolate themselves. I mean, it's a feasting place for the devil. So we must, and that actually applies to believers and non-believers. So we must really keep our eyes open and almost watch out for conversations like that, because people are empty, and we need to be Jesus, and we need to be the sweet aroma. I mean, think of that way. How many of you that is sitting here just one day randomly walked into the church, met with Jesus, and was forever changed, versus through relationship with a friend? We forget the power of relationship. We need to be the church outside the church. And there's many of our friends that they won't come to church. They don't want to. But I am full of faith that when the time is right, that they will meet with Jesus, and then they will be forever changed. So pray about your relationship. Make God part of the plan. There will be a time to sow, and there will be a time to reap. The sowing part might take, Andrea's now 4.5, so it's been 4.5 years. It might take long, and you might not be the person that's reaping it. But make God part of the plan, and you don't have to feel that you are carrying the burden. But like I said, there is a time for everything. So there is a time for sowing, and there is a time for reaping. The timing must just be right. For Jean's baby dedication, we're like, oh wow, this is an awesome opportunity to invite people to church. They love Jean, so they will come. And we had a list of people that we actually wanted to invite. And then Kenny and I, we prayed about it, and we just ended up inviting two couples. Labeling them, but non-churchgoers, to come to Jean's dedication. And then when Kenny, he actually in person asked the one couple, and the husband immediately said yes. Kenny wasn't even able to look like complete his sentence. He was like, yes, we're coming. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. And then afterwards, he sent Kenny a message, and he said, He's so excited to come to Jean's dedication. For years, he's been wanting his wife to come to church with him, but he doesn't want to force her. And now, because they are really committed friends and they want to come, it was such an awesome opportunity for them to come to Jean's dedication and experience it. And then the other couple, they also came because they are also very loyal friends. They sometimes also just come when it's kids service. They do also come. And although I think some of the seeds that were planted were small, I know God knows about it, and it doesn't matter how small. I mean, think of the mustard seed. God can use it. And I also believe that when the time is right, they will give their life to Jesus. They will have an understanding of who he is. But I mean, it's small things like that that really, it really makes a massive difference. And so I want to encourage you, invite people to church. Be bold. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? They can just say no, and then they are the ones that's missing out. It's not you. And I also for kids church or kids service, I mean, for us that have as kids, people that do church hopping or whatever, they always check out the kids services or the kids church. So it's also, it's a great tool to invite people to church. That is one of our friends. At the moment, that is how they are sometimes coming to church, is because of kids church. And then lastly, that I just wanted to point out is don't deny yourself in what you believe in. I don't drink a lot of wine. There's nothing wrong with the wine. I'm just saying. So for some of my friends, it was really weird in the beginning. They were like, why don't you like it? I just said, I don't like it. So they were weird about it for a bit, and now they're so used to it, and they love me for who I am. So I didn't have to feel like I had to change into a person to make them feel comfortable. I mean, so they still think it's funny, but anyway, it's just who I am. And then another example is a friend approached me probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she said, oh, yeah, we must do Halloween for the kids in the park. And I just said, I don't really like Halloween. I don't like celebrating it. Full stop. I mean, if she wants an explanation, I will give her the lowdown. But I mean, I just said to her, I don't want to celebrate it. And that's it. So also, like I said, there is a time to be bold and what you can stand up in what you believe in, and you don't have to feel ashamed of it. So just in closing, where's Donovan and Danielle? I don't know if you can slowly but surely come up so long. God, he calls us to love our neighbors. And to really fulfill this commandment is for us to have a revelation of who he is, how he loves us, and how he sees us. And that's actually my heart for this sermon, or what do you want to call it, that I really want to inspire you, is to go and ask God to show them and to show you how he feels about you. I mean, we can, at the end maybe, you don't have to do that now, have the part where I ask you to close your eyes, all those scriptures, it was all based on the Bible, so it's not thumb-sucked. You can take a photo of it, I mean, read it over you if you are struggling with it, but yeah, it's for me, that's the thing that stood out for the sermon. And again, I am practical, so immediately I would think, oh, how can I do? But God really emphasized in my heart that we need to love ourselves and need to be yourself. I mean, that's the person that your friends around or your community around you are interested in. They are interested in, they are drawn to the Holy Spirit that is in you. I mean, it's so easy. They come to you, they approach to you. And Ken and I have been in many situations where people will just randomly come to us. They will open up their hearts, share their life story with us. And then I'm like, wow, I didn't even do something. But it's not because Ken and I are so awesome, but it's because the Holy Spirit, and they sense there is something in there. The Holy Spirit creates a safe atmosphere, a safe place for them to share their lives. So I want to encourage you. And then the last part is, I know you can get hurt if you put yourself out there. You can sometimes feel rejected or even be rejected. But if you can see it the way I see it, you are a blessing. I mean, you are a massive blessing. You have God, you have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we have everyone on board with us. So if someone says no or rejects you, it's not you that's missing out. You actually have to think, oh, shame, poor whatever person, he's going to miss out on my blessing. So, I mean, you can have like a chip on your shoulder and think, I am a blessing, because you are a blessing. And God says that about you. And then remember, God's plan for a neighbor is you. So God is intentional. Nothing just happened coincidentally. So yeah, I hope you are a bit more inspired and that you are more in love with yourself this morning. You can stand if you just want to pray for us. If you want to stand. Yeah, so my prayer for you this morning is that you really, that you really are in love with yourself and that you really see how God sees you. If there is someone or a person, if you're struggling to love yourself and that's keeping you from actually loving your neighbor, you can come to the front. I would love to pray for you because we are special people. We are God's people and we are a blessing. So I really want to pray for you. And then for the rest of you, before you go and have some very nice baby dedication snacks, you can just maybe in two or three sentences to the person next to you, you can just maybe share what stood out or if you have any ideas of how you can actually love your neighbor or the community that's where you're currently living, just to make it, again, practical. So that's from my side. But again, I'm going to wait here in the front a bit. So if you want to come forward, then I'll pray for you. And I'll just quickly pray for ourselves or for everyone. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you love us so much, Lord, and that you are a good, good Father. And you are the God that created the heavens and the earth, Lord. And you made us, you love us, you adore us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, even in a dream tonight or where we are at this today, I just ask the Holy Spirit to just come and download in our hearts how you see us, Lord, how you love us. I mean, you even gave your only son for us, Lord, to die on the cross, Lord. You are so in love with us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, during this week, come and talk to us and how we can be that shining light to the people living close to us. I mean, we are all called to do that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we won't do that out of our own strength and our own capacity, Lord, but that we would do it hand in hand with you, Lord. So it will just be doing life as it is. Yes, Lord. And thank you for your love. And amen. May you all be blessed and have a fantastic Sunday.